Hello and welcome to the Brutal Iron Gym Podcast, where our goal is to cut through the BS and deliver the brutal truth about topics related to health and happiness. Today's podcast number 1087. Our topic is training, and the title is Workout Explanation, Cardio and Full Body Combined. So what we're going to do today is we're going to talk through a workout that I had my wife Meredith go through this morning. So she used to do CrossFit. If you don't know about my wife, one of the more recent podcasts we get together was just a couple podcasts ago, 1083. It was a training podcast, and it's titled With Meredith, Rehab Effects on Strength Progression. And we talked through some of her history. So she's competed in women's physique competitions. She's been a CrossFit coach. She has all the CrossFit certifications. She was a dancer for like 20-some years. Freaking amazing human being in terms of physical fitness and physical knowledge and background. And she's an amazing human being in regards to just character and who she is as a person. So it's freaking awesome. So I'm very, very, very blessed. Can't believe that I have somebody like her in my life. It's amazing, and I'm excited every single day to spend time with her. Awesome. Well, so if you want to learn more about her, check out podcast 1083. And we've done some other ones, so you can probably just search Brutal Iron Gym Podcast Meredith, and you'll be able to see some of the other ones we've done. Like, we both have had an eating disordered background, so we've talked about that. And we've talked about some other things as well, just kind of mindset things and whatnot. Awesome, awesome, awesome insight. Always love when she's able to join me. So what we do is, since she does have a CrossFit background, some days we go to CrossFit classes in the morning before work, and we go to South Cherry CrossFit, or CrossFit South Cherry in Rock Hill, South Carolina. So Cherry Road is like one of the main roads that goes through the city of Rock Hill. So that's why it's called South Cherry. It's awesome. The owner's Robbie Benson, super duper nice guy. Really like that gym. It's a great facility. Awesome, awesome. So if you're in the Rock Hill area, I would definitely suggest checking them out. So we go at not the insane people 5:30 a.m. class, but the still somewhat insane 6:30 a.m. class. And I'm not a morning person, but it gets you going and you're already kind of win for the day. So it's good when we do that. Some days we'll do that. Some days we'll come to Brutal Iron Gym. It kind of depends on what the workouts are at CrossFit. Depends on what vibe we're feeling that day and kind of what our time frame is. So this morning, we had a short time frame. Meredith had an 8 a.m. meeting, so we had to get in here, get out, and we had about 30 minutes, including like time to put on shoes and stuff. So a little bit short. Now, the benefit that Meredith has is her husband is a personal trainer, and he knows how to make 30 minutes kick your ass. So we have had great workouts that have lasted, you know, an hour or more. We've had amazing workouts that have lasted as short as 10 minutes. You just do what you got to do with what time you have to do it and figure it out. So what I wanted to do is share the workout that we did today. I'm going to talk about it in today's podcast. And then on Instagram, I'll be sharing, I guess this will come out on Tuesday, September 21st. So I'll be sharing a photo along with this podcast, and it'll kind of, you know, highlight people to come listen to this podcast. And you can see the equipment we use, and it's kind of a good post for it. If you don't follow us on Instagram, I'd suggest you do. I post a bunch of good information outside of the podcast themselves, so it's a pretty cool resource. Just look for Brutal Iron Gym on Instagram, and please, if you don't mind, follow us. It just helps the gym look more relevant, and people can find us better in searches and all the good stuff. So thank you, thank you, thank you. What we did today, I'm going to tell you what the workout is, then I'm going to explain why the workout is. So our workout was a circuit, meaning you do one movement to another movement to another movement to another movement, and then you would come back around and do the movements over again. So you're not going to do all of your working sets on one movement, then all of your working sets on the next movement. You do just a single working set on each movement and then go back through. We did the rower for 1 minute sprints, sprint effort. We did kettlebell, single arm, front rack, heel elevated, reverse lunge with slider, yada yada, da 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 da. So 5,000 names in there. That was all one exercise. But the reason why it's named that way is when I write programs for clients, I share a YouTube video for every single exercise I ever prescribe, so that way they have a tutorial video that they can watch. The names also follow a specific pattern where you have it's like an English language pattern, so it's kind of annoying for I don't think it's a great format, but this is how Americans in English people read language. This is probably going to show some ignorance on my side, so feel free to pick on me. But we tend to do like all of the descriptors before we say like what the thing is, and that's ridiculous. So we would say like old silver watch. Well, we're used to that, but it doesn't really make sense. You should say watch, it's old and it's silver. That would be a better way to name things. But linguist language, we say what the implement is that we use, we say all the modifications to our positions, and then we say what the movement is. That's ridiculous. But that tends to be the way our language works. So a kettlebell single arm means you're using one kettlebell and only one arm. Front rack means you're holding the kettlebell to the front of your body rather than like hanging it between your legs. Heel elevated means that the leg we're using, the front leg, we're going to be standing on a wedge. We have a 2-inch wedge. Now, you can just use a weight plate if you want, but it elevates the heel, and I'll explain why in a second. We're doing reverse lunge. So if you don't know what a reverse lunge is, YouTube that. And we're using a slider on the back leg, and I'll explain why we're doing that. So it's a reverse lunge where your front foot is elevated. You're using a slider on the back foot, and you hold a kettlebell in one arm to the front of your body. Crazy long name, but that's how we say these things. The next exercise is a kettlebell single arm bent over row. So much shorter. Yay. And then a kettlebell single arm overhead press. That's it. So other than the one exercise having 17 things in it, that's actually a really short list. So it's a rower, like kettlebell reverse lunge, the short version. Then single arm bent over row and single arm overhead press. That's it. We just did circuits and rounds of that. We did 1-minute sprints on the rower, 10 reps per leg on the lunge, 10 reps per arm on the row, 10 reps per arm on the press. Now, with the rows and presses, we did 10 reps of a row into the same arm of 10 reps of a press. So we didn't switch arm to arm from row to row. We did the row on one arm and the press on one arm. Then we switched to the other arm for the row and the press to finish out. Now, I'll explain why in a little bit. So what this does is I'm going to explain why I selected each movement, each position, and just kind of explain why this resulted in a workout that was the way we wanted it to be. So that way you can learn more about exercise selection considerations and just learning about how to put together a great workout. I thought this would be very helpful because these are the things that helped me when I was younger. When I started learning how to personal train, I didn't have anybody coach me. There was no certifications where I lived. I just downloaded some videos off YouTube and started figuring this stuff out. I started training people, my friends, family, and eventually just started learning and experimenting. I read books. I went to school for this. So I learned organically from the very start, and I would love to give everyone else a faster start. So we're going to geek out a little bit on exercise selections, but it's pretty cool to learn and see what all goes into creating a great workout. Now, the first exercise, the rower, the reason why we picked this is we wanted a cardiovascular stress to the workout. She wants to burn calories. She wants to improve her cardiovascular health. She also likes just doing high-paced things. That's a preference for her. And since we only have 30 minutes, we had tried to figure out how can we get most stress out of 30 minutes would be to add some type of cardiovascular component. So if we took, you know, say we just did a max effort back squat, it's going to take 30 minutes to like warm up to the squat, do 2 or 3 sets, and then you're walking out the gym. That's not a lot of volume. So you may have increased your strength, but you didn't really create enough muscle damage. You didn't create any cardiovascular stress. You wouldn't have had really any other benefit than just strength. So doing the rower, it allowed us to get the cardiovascular benefit. It was also easy to start into. There's no real need for an elaborate warm-up. You just do 1 minute kind of easy pace, and then we started sprinting right away for a minute. So it's faster transition to get started since we only have 30 minutes. It's also an easy transition between the rower and the other movements. You just have to pop your feet out, do the other movements, sit back down, pop your feet in. Really quick, easy transitions, not a lot of waste of time. It's lower body dominant, which allowed us to match our workout focus. Since we wanted to have kind of a 50-50 workout, but maybe a little more like 60-40 into the legs, we knew that rower sprints were going to be a great way to involve the lower body in our cardiovascular stress. If we wanted upper body, for example, we could have done ski erg, you know, or battle ropes or something else. But we wanted a lower body one to contribute towards the lower body volume of the workout. Also, the rower includes a large range of motion on the knees and like a driving force through the foot pad, which helps us with our knee therapy. So we talked about, Meredith and I, in podcast 1083, that Meredith is working through some rehab effects that were related to positioning when she danced for 20 some years that doesn't translate well into lifting weights for strength or at best aesthetics. So we've talked about how we were addressing her ankle health, her knee health, her hip health. One of the things we're addressing is the knees and trying to get her knees to be able to absorb more force load at a greater degree of bend. The rower helps us do that. So every single repetition on the rower was, in a sense, contributable towards our knee therapy. It also includes upper back mobility to address posture issues. Meredith has a sitting job, so she has kind of forward rounded shoulders. We want to always work around against that. We have a universal attachment on our rower, meaning my dad and I created this thing that you can detach and reattach different handles to our rower. So we can use handles that allow for separation of pull and more of a neutral grip to allow for a greater degree of mid-back contraction, like rhomboids, lower traps. So you're not finishing kind of like finishing your pull rounded forward and really only pulling through your biceps and upper lats, where we're able to switch out the handles and really be able to drive through the mid-back to create postural strength and to open up tightnesses in the front of the shoulders. So really, it's amazing that we're able to kind of modify that machine to make it as awesome as we can. Now, we do sell those universal attachments if you ever want to buy them, but it's pretty cool. It's just a wrench, and then you just swap out the handles anytime you want. So we use them for therapy all the time for clients. And then also, side note is the rower can be moved anywhere. So we didn't need to move it in this workout, but we've moved it to our squat racks before, over by our leg press before. We can kind of push the rower around wherever we need it to make for faster, easier transitions in circuits. So that was some of the details of the rower. I'm trying not to go too long into each one, but that was part of the reasons why we selected the rower for our cardio stimulus. Now, the kettlebell, single arm, front rack, heel elevated, reverse lunge with slider, yada, 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 and that thing. Let's break that down. Why did I pick a kettlebell versus a dumbbell? The kettlebell, I knew that I wanted an uneven load, meaning that an offset load. So I wanted kind of the body to only be able to support like one weight on one side, and I'll explain why in a second. And a kettlebell is easier to support on the wrist in a front rack position than a dumbbell is. Meaning I wanted the lunge and I wanted a front rack positioning, and I'll explain why in a second, but I didn't want it to kick the crap out of her wrist or annoy her wrist or annoy her shoulder. So a single arm front rack with a kettlebell is significantly more comfortable than a single arm front rack with a dumbbell. Much easier on the wrist, much more kind of sustainable for longer duration. So that was why we picked a kettlebell rather than a dumbbell. Single arm. Reason why I wanted that was it's a unilateral load, meaning it's a loaded on only one side that involves more anti-rotational bracing work of the core, meaning the abdominal muscles and the lower back muscles, the muscles along the spine. So it really helps with core strength and neutralizing a forward tilted hip position, which is something we're working on with Meredith to correct. So that's another kind of rehab issue that's combined within our programming. And she got core work combined within our programming. Then it helps to increase the interplay of the support between the hips, meaning that her hips, hold on, I gotta pause this 1 second. Hey, yes.
Hey, so your P-trap was already messed up to begin with.
Okay.
That was.
I didn't.
Yeah, it was already busted. So someone had, I didn't even notice this until I got down there, but someone had basically wrapped duct tape and all that stuff.
That's a lazy way of doing it.
So, all right.
Okay.
So I'm gonna obviously fix all that.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you for doing that, though. It's like, I'm not stuck with a cruddy piece like that.
So, yeah, absolutely. Like that's that's not right.
Well, thank you. I appreciate you wanting to do things the right way.
Yeah, I'm gonna go. Well, I mean, it broke off anyway. When.
Yeah, I guess true. Yeah. Okay.
I barely touched it and it broke off.
Okay.
But what I'm going to do is, I'm going to see if I have it on my truck. If I don't, I have to go back out and grab a piece.
Okay. Well, I appreciate you doing that, though. Thank you.
Yeah, no problem.
Yeah, thank you. Okay, thank you very much. Okay, I am back. This is the first time in 1087 podcasts that this has come up, but I can't edit. I purposely use a recording program that doesn't allow me to edit any of my recordings. So that way I couldn't be overly critical of myself and end up like editing my recording 4,000 times. So I'm going to go ahead and finish this one. And I hope that you all don't mind a like 2 minute there description with me and the plumber. So our water was leaking in the bathroom. So we're getting that addressed today. Okay, well, this is welcome to real life. Okay, so let's keep going. So the unilateral load involves more anti-rotational core work. So like we said, it improves bracing stability and control in the abdomen, like the core, the abdominal muscles and the lower back muscles and the muscles along the spine. And it also increases interplay of support between the hips. What this means is, since we're doing a unilateral lower body movement, meaning we're using one leg and not the other leg, but we're also doing a unilateral upper body load, what's happening is there's kind of a crisscross interplay of bracing, but also an allowance of movement between the hips themselves and between the supporting kind of muscles from kind of like the lower body interlaced into the upper body. Really what this does is it just bulletproofs someone's core, and it really helps protect their back, lower back health, and it helps even out that postural tilt issues of the hips. So having a unilateral load doesn't seem that significant, but it actually really is, especially when you pair it with a unilateral movement in the lower body and you have those cross-loaded, meaning she's driving through her right leg, but she's holding the weight on her left arm. Or if she's driving through her left leg, she's holding the weight in her right arm. So super, super important, but very small detail that people often overlook. The idea of it being front racked, like a front load, it ensures that there's a more upright torso position. So if it was loaded behind her or underneath her, she could hinge over more and she could use more of her lower back. But we wanted this movement to contribute towards our knee health, knee rehab. So having a more uprighted torso helps ensure that she's going to get a greater degree of bend through the knee joint in order to get low and get down in the movement rather than being able to get low by hinging. So this really helps to reinforce the knee health as well. Heel elevated, by having her front leg elevated, it helps to keep the upright torso even more so, and it limits any kind of stretch reflex, calf stretch range of motion issues. So since she was a dancer for a lot of years, people who are flat-footed will experience this as well, that if you were trying to do a movement like a lunge or a front squat and your knees are supposed to track forward, you might notice that your heels start to lift up or that you fall forward or kind of dump forward in the movement. If you elevate your heels, that'll reduce the stretch demand of the calf muscle, and it'll actually allow you to get lower with a more upright torso, and you won't experience that forward tilt or that forward falling sensation or forward folding over sensation. So lots of amazing, excellent things that are contributable to these positional aspects. Then the idea of a reverse lunge, it's just more constant tension on the knee itself rather than a forward lunge. So a forward lunge, you have to kind of, you almost like fall forward. You explode out of the front leg to drive yourself back. But it's very momentum. There's momentum to fall forward. You then drive out of the bottom and you momentumly coast back to the start position. Since we want this for not explosion, she's not trying to do vertical jumps or explosive sports, we want this to be kind of growing and strengthening the muscle tissues. We want more constant tension. So a reverse lunge in general allows for more constant tension than a forward lunge does. Why did we use the slider? So we had a slider on her back leg. This allows her to better control her balance during the movement, which then therefore allows for, again, more constant tension on the working muscle. She's not having to drop or fall or shift or that. She can kind of better control her positioning and maintain that constant tension on the targeted muscles. So every one of those things that's in that name, that long name, kettlebell, single arm, front rack, heel elevated, reverse lunge or slider, every one of those are super important because they're so contributable to what we want to happen in this workout. Now, why did we do 10 reps? We did 10 reps because the time under tension for her is roughly about 15 to 20 seconds. That is a time under tension that is related to a mixture of strength increase and muscle mass damage, which then leads to muscle mass increase if your nutrition is supportive of that. And due to the number of sets and rounds we were doing, we were definitely going to get muscle damage out of it. If I would have made her do higher repetitions, it would have been a cardiovascular limitation where we wanted a muscle burn, a muscle strength limitation. So keeping the rep ranges lower, like 10 reps, better matched our goal due to the time under tension and what would be the maximal stress of that movement. I don't want her to be so out of breath she can't continue. I want her muscles to be burning so bad or her muscles to be so weak that they can't continue. So that way it's the muscles that take the brunt of the effort and they make the adaptational change. Now, don't lose me yet. We got one more exercise combination to go through, which is the kettlebell rows and overhead press. So why did I pick those? Kettlebell, just because it kept the needed equipment list low. If we already were using the kettlebell for the reverse lunge, we might as well use the kettlebell for the other movements as well. So the transition between movements was super fast. That kept our cardio effect up. So we are still kind of breathing hard as we go through the muscle movements. Now, we're not breathing so hard that the cardio is a limitation, but we also don't want to fully recover our cardio during the muscle stuff. So we want to keep some cardio effect going, and a faster transitions help towards that. Also, faster transitions increase potential workout volume. Since we only had 30 minutes, the faster the transitions, the more reps and more work we could get in within 30 minutes. So making sure that you have streamlined transitions is extremely impactful if you want to have a great workout in a short period of time, or if you just want to have a great workout and shorten the time. If you don't want to be in the gym for 2 or 3 hours, you don't have to be at all. No way whatsoever. I've helped people get pro cards in aesthetics that have never spent more than 1 hour at a time in the gym. I have people who have elite totals in powerlifting, like state records and stuff, that have never spent more than an hour in the gym. So you absolutely do not need to be in the gym for that long if you don't want to be. Now, again, we did unilateral. This increased that anti-rotational core work, the interplay between different joints and stabilization. It also changed the position of emphasis. So in the reverse lunges, she was very upright and had to brace that positioning. In the bent over row, she's bent over and had to brace that position. So it changed the kind of emphasis that we had for low back and core stability, as well as the hip postural control. So she had to make sure she had a flat low back and make sure her glutes and external rotators were stabilizing her, rather than having a rounded lower back and her lower back taking the beat of the beating. So by having it the unilateral, it really helped work on all that core stabilization and again reinforced a more proper hip tilt positioning. Now, why do we do rows and overhead press? Because it covers all the muscles of the upper body. Rows cover the back and kind of all of our pulling muscles, our back, our biceps, our rear delts. The overhead press works her triceps, her shoulders. You could arguably say that there's not much chest involved there, which you would say, and you'd be right. But for the aesthetic development that we're working towards, we're developing her towards a figure competitor look. Shoulder development is a higher priority than chest development. So we wanted to have the shoulder stress within the workout since it was more important for us. So if you notice in this, like, we didn't do calf raises because they're not that important for her look. Just like I wouldn't have chosen a chest press over an overhead press, considering shoulders are more important for her look. Now, you can do both of these movements with both feet on the ground, or you can actually do them standing on the opposing foot or the opposing leg. And that increases the core work and stabilization even more so. And if you notice, if you're training somebody and you're a client, trainer, if you notice somebody has a rounded upper back when they do their rows, make them stand on one leg and it often settles that or calms that down a little bit. It can help towards a more straight-lined back positioning. Now, why one arm through both movements rather than back and forth? It was an easier flow, faster transition. It shortens the bent over duration. So if she has to bend over to do the rows of her right arm, but then gets to stand right up to do the overhead presses with her right arm, she then goes to her left arm for the overhead presses, then bends over for the left arm to do the rows. She didn't have to stay bent over for too long. This ensures that we're not overly stressing her lower back because the rower itself can actually potentially tap into some low back capacity, strength capacity, endurance capacity. So This was a geek out little bit session of why we would have created the workout with all of these exercise selections with a side conversation with a plumber. So hopefully you guys followed me. I appreciate you still listening. Thank you so much. But I think it's awesome to see that a workout as simple as a row or reverse lunges, bent over rows and overhead press for 30 minutes can be this insanely complex, but also this insanely personalized. All of these movements, every single aspect of these positions was chosen exactly for Meredith. Exactly to address what she needs out of her workouts. You don't need more when it comes to training. You need better. The better workouts you do, the better results you'll get without investing more time, without investing more energy that you don't have to give, without needing elaborate equipment, elaborate everything. It can be much more simple. Now, this is what I do for clients all the time. Now, you don't have to be a client whatsoever. I hope that you learn enough through these podcasts that you don't have to pay me a dime if you don't want to. But if you'd like to, this is exactly what we do. We have different services. And for the lowest price we have is the like $150 a month for the one-on-one stuff. You get a nutritionist and a personalized nutrition program. You get a personal trainer and a personalized nutrition program. You get accountability, motivation, a sense of connection, being able to answer ask and get answers for questions anytime you need them. And everything is written specifically for you. I have some clients, all they have at home is an adjustable dumbbells, and we make that work. They've had brand new workouts every month for well over a year. I have one client who has, 17 months, and all she has is adjustable dumbbells from 5 to 40 pounds, but we've done brand new workouts every single month. You can do this. If you have an elaborate equipment, awesome, fun, enjoy it, use it. But if you have very minimal equipment, you can still be amazing. You can still have the body you want, the health you want. So, if you want any help, we do customized programming, whether we're doing it for just creating you a template and then you follow the template on your own, or if you want monthly help, which involves that kind of personalized nutrition program, personalized training program, accountability, motivation, connections, Q&A anytime you want it. I mean, you have a nutritionist and personal trainer on call for $150 a month. Good Lord. Doesn't get any cheaper, okay? So, if you'd like to sign up for any of that, our email is brutalirongym@gmail.com. You can also check out our website, www.brutalirongym.com, to check out more about me and who I've helped. And I've been a personal trainer for 19 years, helped people to every possible standard you can think of. I've helped professional athletes, Olympic athletes, in every category, like aesthetic professionals, powerlifting equivalent of what a professional powerlifter would be, just everything and anything. So if you check us out, hopefully you'll like what you see. Cool. But I hope that you enjoyed this breakdown and got to learn more about just the nuances and the fun that can be done in workout creation and exercise selection. So thank you for listening. If you need anything, if you just want to run a workout by me, maybe how about that? Okay, for free. If you want to send me a workout that you create, I'll do a podcast review of it so we all can learn from it, and then you can take the notes and you can do it. So if you just want to throw a workout out at me, I'll make a podcast for you. Just send it to our email, brutalirongym@gmail.com, and that'll be a great way for us to get some interaction, you to get some free help with exercise, with workout creation. So if you're a trainer or if you're just a regular person and you want to throw something out there, let me know, and then I'll critique it for you. I'll be nice, I promise. But I'll talk about the goods and the bads and what we could do a little bit different, okay? So reach out or email us, brutalirongym@gmail.com. I sincerely appreciate you listening. If you like today's podcast, please share it. Sharing the podcast is the most impactful thing you can do. So thank you to those who are doing that. It's making a difference. The podcast is really growing this year. You can also financially support the podcast through the Podbean platform. You can become a patron of the podcast. We have people that support us by donating $5 or $10 a month. The podcast is over $1,000 a year. It's very helpful. I'm very blessed that people are financially supporting the podcast. It makes a huge difference. Thank you to those who are doing that. Then if you like the information we present in our podcast, check us out on social media, on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter under the name Brutal Iron Gym. If you have any questions, feedback, suggestions, if there's ever anything you need, our email is brutalirongym@gmail.com. As always, I hope this was helpful, and thank you for listening.